You know, as between now, between, you know, Christmas and New Year's for me is a transitional time. You know, I'm beginning to think about next year. I'm sure some of you are thinking about next year as well. And the Lord asked me this question, and he said, "Son, are you ready?" And I'm like, "Ready for what?" You know what I'm saying? And so I began to think about that, just that question itself for a while. And really, in a sense, for us as humans, we live a life of getting ready. In other words, you got ready to come to church this morning. You know what I'm saying? For some of you, you're on vacation this week. You're getting ready to do some different activities that you'd like to do. For others, you're in job transitions, school transitions, you know, different exams coming up, all kinds of things. So you're getting ready. In fact, we get ready on a regular basis, all different times and all different ways in our lives. And so we're doing that in the natural, but here's a question I have, and this is what the Lord was really saying to me, is, are we getting ready spiritually? You know, we do all the natural stuff that we need to do, but are we forgetting about getting ready in the realm of the Spirit? And with that in mind, the Lord showed me, you know, three questions that he was asking me about getting ready, and I'm going to turn it around and ask you those questions, and hopefully we can answer these things together. And so the first thing that I want to say to this is, are you ready to recognize that life is full of seasons? You know, as I think about it, Gail was sharing about her dear sister passing away. Well, that was a season of life that she had to go through, right? You know, she had to come back here and attend the funeral and go through the grieving process and visit with family and all that. And it was a season of life that had to happen. And I know that there are some people, even Christians, who kind of hide away from that, you know, in dealing with, life and death situations. But here's the thing. Life and death is a part of life, if you hear what I'm saying. You know, nobody passes that. Nobody gets around that. There was only two people in the Bible that did, and I believe they come back as the two witnesses, and they're going to die as well. In other words, nobody passes that. And so it's a part of living is the dying part. My own mother, who's 92 years old, she was and still is, but the matriarch of our family. And even when my father was alive, he was the head, but she was the neck. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, and not in a controlling, manipulating way, but she was a moving force. You know, she just would say things and impact all of us as a family. And here she is, 92 years old, you know, her health is beginning to fail, where instead of her helping us, we're all helping her now. You know, and it's a season, you know, and for me it's challenging and it's difficult and it's different from what I'm used to. But it's a part of the season of life. Now, what if I started to pray and say, "No, I don't want this season to happen"? Well, let me ask you this question. You know, winter's coming. You know, the snow will come, and you can pray all you want, but I'm sure we're going to get some bad weather coming. And wouldn't it be foolish for me to go outside and say, "In the name of Jesus, winter, don't come"? You'd think I'm crazy, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Well, some of us, that's what we're doing in our spiritual seasons of life. You know, things are happening to us, and we're going out and saying, "No, you know, in the name of Jesus, you know, this can't happen." But here's the thing. Seasons come and seasons go. There are some things that we cannot change. And in fact, in the natural seasons, for example, God told Noah when the rainbow was in the sky, he says, you know, as surely as there's going to be time, there's going to be the seasons. In other words, it's not going to change. We're going to have seasons. And it's the same for you and I. We have seasons of life that sometimes we have no control over. So my question is, are you spending more time fighting against it, striving against it, or embracing it and going through it? You see, Gail said this earlier, that Jesus was with her through this difficult season. And God will be with you no matter what you're going through as well. And here's the thing, not all seasons are bad, are they? You know, there are good seasons that happen in life as well. But even those will come to an end. And then you have other seasons that come. Life is full of seasons, and do you recognize that? And are you willing to embrace those things? You know, COVID has been a two-year-long season, right? Yet in the midst of it, what do we do as a church? Do we just kind of hunker down and say, "We're just going to hold on and just, you know, hope that we get through this"? No. We decided that even in the season of COVID, that we were going to establish Bible schools around the world. You know, we decided that we were going to support more missionaries than we've ever supported, doubling our giving to supporting missionaries around the world in this last year. In a time of COVID, you might think, that's crazy. Here's the thing. We chose to not let the season dictate what we were going to do, but that we were going to do what God had called us to do despite the season. And that's how God wants to work in our lives at all different levels. That no matter what's going on, and it could be horrible things going on, that in the midst of it, God is there with you. I'm reminded of Romans 8:28. God works all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And as I look at that, God works all things, even in COVID, to work for good. You get what I'm saying? You could put whatever season in there. God will work it for good if you will allow him to. But if you're fighting it, then you might not see what God's wanting to do with you and through you through that season. Amen? So stop fighting it. Just recognize it. Say, okay, there it is. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? And walk through it so you can make it, if it's a bad season, the shortest possible season you can. Amen? And come out the other side into a fresh new season. You know, I think about this, that in the wintertime, you know, when you came here today, what did you do when you opened, before you opened the door of your house or your apartment to go outside? You put a coat on, didn't you? You know, did you say, well, you know what? Yeah, I'm just not believing it's cold out. Yeah, it's not cold out. And you didn't wear a pair of shorts with short sleeves out because you know what? You would have froze your little tushy off. You know what I'm saying? So what did you do? You adapted, you adjusted to the season. And you did that in the natural. You put your coat on and you came. You didn't think nothing of it, did you? Well, the same thing happens in the realm of the spirit. Rather than fighting it, you recognize, okay, this is what's going on. You know, my mother is getting older. I need to work out a way now to care for her and visit her as much as I can and talk to her and encourage her because this is the season I'm in. I have to adjust to that new season. And so that's what you and I have to do. Recognize it and then adjust for what's going on. Okay, what's the next point? Okay, are you ready for the suddenlies of life? You know, we just finished the Christmas season. We're just coming out of it. And it was a whole bunch of suddenlies, right? You've got Mary, you know, in the house by herself. And what happened? Suddenly, an angel showed up and suddenly told her she's going to have a baby. Now, do you think that was pretty shocking to her? Absolutely. What about the shepherds out in the field? You know, and the shepherds in that day were, you know, counted as the lowest of the lowest of society, you know, kind of the castaways. And here's the angels suddenly show up announcing the Savior's birth. And then suddenly the sky is full of a whole host of angels proclaiming glory to God in the highest on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Can you imagine that suddenly happening in their lives and how it changed the whole course of their life? Here they are just watching babies being born, you know, baby sheep being born. And they come along and say, there's another baby that's more important than your lambs. And so much so, they left their sheep, they left their livelihood just on the fields by themselves to go and see the one that mattered more importantly than their livelihood, to see Jesus, the Savior of the world, a baby that's different from any other baby. So my question to you is this, aren't there suddenly supposed to be happening in our life? I think of Paul, who was Saul at the time, and in Acts 9, he's just going to a different town to persecute Christians. And what happened? Suddenly, light shone down from heaven. He's knocked to the ground. And all of a sudden, he's changed. His whole trajectory of life changes from being a persecutor of Christians to being one of the chief leaders within Christianity. And we see his, you know, all of his letters all through the New Testament. It's amazing. So here's the thing, though. What can keep us from the suddenlies of life? Well, I'm going to demonstrate something to you. I believe that this is one of the ways that it can happen. Okay, so here I am. So, now, I've given you an illustration here, all right? Now, imagine if I was Saul, you know, I'm walking along the road, you know, and there was a light that shone down from heaven. Well, I got sunglasses on. I'm not even going to see the light. Now, what if an angel started talking to me? I'm not hearing, all right? You get what I'm saying? In other words, I'm so focused on everything going on here. Let me give you an example. I can tell you all about the COVID count for the last number of weeks. I've got all that in my head. I can tell you about all the stuff that's going on concerning the Beijing Olympics and all the controversy concerning it. I can tell you about some earthquakes. I can tell you what's going on in Ukraine and the Russian border. I can tell you all kinds of details and all things about that. But can I tell you what's going on in the courts of heaven right now? And that's what we're supposed to know. But here's what happens. We start wearing the earphones of this world. We start tuning into what the world is saying. We're focused on this world with our eyes. And even if it suddenly happened, we might be oblivious to it. Imagine Mary today, and the same thing happens. The angel shows up, and Mary's got an MP3 player. You know, she's got her earbuds in, and she's got something over her eyes, and angel shows up, right? And says, behold, I've got great news for you. And Mary's just bebopping, and the angel thinks, well, maybe she's agreeing with me. And the angel keeps talking, and after a while, the angel realizes Mary's not tuned into the angel at all. And the angel goes, oh, I guess I'll go find somebody else who's willing to listen. My point is, I use that as just a funny way of looking at it, but I wonder how many times God is maybe showing up in our lives and we're bebopping to the world and we miss that suddenly that God had for us. I just wonder. I have to wonder in my own life that I've missed opportunity after opportunity after opportunity because I wasn't tuned in to the courts of heaven. Isn't the Lord's Prayer part of it? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Well, that means that we need to be connected to heaven. You know, we need to have the earphones of heaven on, you know, and the eyes fixed upon Jesus so that we actually can know and perceive what God is saying to us. But so often, I think we're so distracted by the world that we're missing what God has to say to us. So point one, are you ready to recognize that life is full of seasons? Point two, are you ready for the suddenlies of life? You know, if someone was drowning in their sins right in front of us, would we just drive on by, if you know what I'm saying? Or would we stop and say, Lord, how can I help? Because that's what God has called you and I to do, to be a light in this darkness. And that brings me to the third and final point. Are you ready for the Son of God's return? The all S's, right? You know, seasons, suddenlies, and the sun. This isn't preached a lot about nowadays. You know, I remember back in the 70s and early 80s, you know, you had the Left Behind series. How many people, you know, you had the books, you had the movies. There was other Christian movie producers produced a bunch of other movies, you know, connected to the return of Christ. You know, you see airplanes flying and, you know, the pilot disappears, the plane crashes and burns and cars crashing and clothes just sitting on the seats of the cars and, you know, all kinds of things. And man, it made it real, didn't it, when you saw that? But you know, it's funny, after a few years, you know, the last 10, 15 years, they're not doing that anymore. It's almost like, well, Jesus, you didn't show up. I guess we missed the boat. You know, let's not worry about it. But here's the reality of it. For you and I to be focused on what God's called us to be ready, we need to be ready for his imminent return. You know, he could come back today. He could come back tomorrow. But I dare say that most Christians are not walking with a consciousness of that. Most Christians are, well, you know, I know he's coming. I know, but you know what? I got my bucket list I want to do. I talk to so many young people, and I ask them, you know, are you excited about the return of Christ? You know what most of them say? No. I'm like, well, how could you not be excited about this? You know, all death and darkness and sin, all of that would be gone. They're like, but I got so much I want to do. And I'm like, well, hold it. If what you want to do is in the heart of God, take the bucket list with you. In other words, just because the Lord returns doesn't mean it's the end of life. It's the start of eternal life. It's the start of all the goodness of God. No more weeping. Come on, you think about it. No more pain, no more weeping, no more sickness, no more. You know, the list goes on and on of all the good things that come out of Christ's return. And yet, often, we forget that. And it's not a priority. So therefore, here's the problem. We have a person around us who's maybe dying in their sins, and we're like, I'll talk to them tomorrow. Or maybe it's more convenient next week. Well, what if you don't have tomorrow or next week? And so I believe that we need to be ready for the imminent return of Christ. That needs to be part of our psyche. In other words, if God asks us to do something today, don't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow's not promised. But if God's asked you to do it today, then you've got today to do what he's called you to do. And it's just so important for us to have that mentality. So are we ready for all the seasons that are happening in our lives? You know, they're coming, they're going. And just do what God's called us to do. Are we ready for the suddenlies? Have we taken off the glasses and the earphones of this world that we're wearing? And have we come to a place of realizing that the return of Christ is more important than anything? I'm reminded in Matthew 25 of the parable of the 10 virgins. And in that story, they're there and they're to greet the bridegroom as he's coming. And that was their job. And what happens is all of them fall asleep. They all fall asleep. It was a long wait. Just like we're dealing with a long wait right now for the return of Christ. A lot of people said, yeah, I don't think he's coming. But listen, he is coming. And so all the virgins fell asleep. But the Bible says that five were wise and five were foolish. So the call came that the groom was coming, okay? And so they're like, whoa, they all woke up. But then as they began to trim their lamps, five of them realized they were out of oil. And so they said to the five wise, well, give us some of your oil. And he said, well, no, we can't give you any of our oil. You gotta go buy it. And what is that symbolic of? Listen to me. I can't give you the Holy Spirit that's in me. You can only get that from God. And so you gotta get your fill up from him. I can't give it to you. And so that's symbolic of that. And so they left, and then the groom came, and then the five got to go in. Five show up later, too late, can't come in. Well, what is God saying to us about that? Well, first of all, we need to keep our wicks trimmed. Now, why do we need to do that? Well, I had occasion back in my younger days to have an actual oil lamp, you know, the real deal. You know, the kind that you see in old Westerns and that. We had a bunch of old ones kicking around, and so I got one of them going. And it was all sooty, and I lit the thing. It's like smoke everywhere. And so my mom showed me what to do. You take a pair of scissors, and you trim the top of the wick. Get rid of all the black burned up stuff, and then you trim the lamp down. There's actually a point where you just bring it to a certain place, and it gives light without giving smoke. It's the most amazing thing. And so I got it to work. I'm like, wow, that is so cool. So here's the thing. Are we spiritually keeping our wicks trimmed? The unfruitful things that are in our lives, the things that have no value, are we trimming them off so that we are a bright light to the world around us? And do we have enough oil in our lamp to supply that wick? And what is that? That's the presence of Jesus. You know, that's simplified, but that's really what it is. You and I coming into his presence, of growing in who he is and experiencing him in fresh new ways. I pray that even during worship today, that some of you got a little more oil added to your lamp on the inside, with the idea that you just had a little more understanding, just a little more assurance that God is who he says he is. With the idea that when you leave this week and you're at your job or you're at home with family or wherever you are in a store, that you can be bright and clean and clear, a light for Jesus. Because that's what God wants to do. Because we want to have a consciousness that this life is short and that Christ is returning. Let's stand together. You know, as I just close out these three questions, you know, are you ready for the seasons that are in your life? Or are you ready for the suddenlies? Or are you ready for the imminent return of the Son? These are all questions to consider as we go into a new year. In a sense, as kind of pre-preparation for what God wants to do in your life and in mine. I encourage you as a believer on fire for Jesus. And listen to me. I believe that all of you are a believer on fire for Jesus because you wouldn't be here the day after Christmas in church. All right? I'm just telling you. Thank God for that. And for those watching, God bless you as well, but I appreciate those that physically came and said, I am going to take time out for the Lord, you know, because you want to burn for him. You want to burn brightly for him. So I just want to pray for you right now. Just every head bowed just for a moment. And I want to ask this question to begin with. Are some of you, and Gail talked about this as well, but I want to ask for a response right now. Are some of you going through a difficult season right now? And if that's you, just slip your hand up in the air. It's just for the Lord to see. Lord, I see over half the hands here are lifted. You can put those hands down. And if you're watching online, I encourage you, if God's speaking to you, just put your hand up. And it may feel silly to do it, but listen, God sees you right where you are. Lord God, you saw those hands raised online. You saw those hands raised here in the sanctuary. And Lord God, I thank you that all seasons have a beginning and they have an end, especially for the difficult ones. I'm grateful for that. And Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name that though we may not be able to change the season ourselves, one thing we can pray for is that we experience your presence as we go through that season. So, Lord, I pray right now that you give wisdom and revelation and direction to each person as they're going through this difficult season of life. That, Lord God, they will come out the other side glorifying your name. There may be weeping for the night, but there will be joy after the season is over. Lord God, I thank you for that. Lord, I pray for those that are looking for a suddenly to happen in their lives. I pray, Lord God, that we would have a greater alertness, a greater attentiveness to what's going on around us, Lord God, to your presence, that we wouldn't be so caught up in what we're doing that we don't see what you're doing. So, Lord God, I thank you for that. And, Lord, I pray that we come to a greater realization that you are going to return and that it's imminent. Your return. And that, Lord God, that we would be reminded of that when we see the needs of others around us, especially those that are lost, that we would take the time to pray your will upon them, to ask them, how can we help? And to help them to see you and come to a saving knowledge of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, I thank you for every single person here. Thank you for those that are watching online and maybe those that are watching, going to watch in days and weeks and months and years from now. I pray that this message just pricks them in the heart and encourages them to be ready for all that you want to do in our lives. So Lord, bless each person here. Bless those watching. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.